Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
The Saratoga Racecourse is 150 years old, and the track is being celebrated throughout the city this season and tonight. The party comes here to SPAC.
And Keith Lockhart will conduct the Philadelphia Orchestra in a series of horse-related pieces. Serenade, Never Serenade, by Richard Daniel Poor, is receiving its world premiere performance tonight here at SPAC. The work pays tribute to other aspects of Saratoga in addition to racing. Over the course of three movements, it visits the art scene, the mineral waters, and finally, the track.
SPAC's commission of Daniel Poor's Serenade was underwritten by Charles and Candace Wade and happens to coincide with Daniel Poor's 30th anniversary of visiting Saratoga. Charles Wade is the chairman of Saratoga 150. It is a great pleasure to welcome Richard Daniel Poor and Charles Wade to the program this morning. Gentlemen, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you. Pleasure. Good morning.
You, Charles Wade, have been a very busy man this season. This has been quite an undertaking to celebrate this this anniversary.
It has, and some people have said, boy, why did you take on such a tough assignment? And I say, to the contrary, this has been one of the highlights of my life. It has been just a wonderful experience. It's been a time to bring all aspects of the community together. This performance by the Philadelphia Orchestra is just one example.
And how important is Saratoga to you personally?
Well, Saratoga, to me personally, has given me a wonderful living, a wonderful place to raise my children, and a wonderful life for four generations of my family. So I don't think, other than my direct family, there could be anything more important.
Wow. At what point did you think that you wanted to commission something?
You know, we were talking about ways, my wife and I, that we could give back to the community for this 150th anniversary. And a thought that's been intriguing to us for a long time is, how do we put a face on YADO, which is a very important organization to Saratoga, but necessarily the artists there need to be cloistered and away from the public. And so it's a bit of a problem for them because people don't really know what happens at YADO.
Right, how special it is.
And the only way we could think of doing that was to commission a piece that was done by a YADO artist, and it was so fortunate, it was a good friend of ours as well. And that we could perform this at the Saratoga Performing Arts Center, which my father was one of the founders of, and the first treasurer and the second chairman, and my mother was the founder of the Action Council, which was a support group. So it just seemed like we could bring in three organizations together in a wonderful synergy that would promote the 150th anniversary of racing.
So Richard, was it hard to write this thing?
Well, you know, it's only hard if you think it's going to be hard. It's you know, we were just talking about this a little earlier, that every situation has its own challenge. But I think one of the things that composers do when they've been doing it for a while is they kind of match their vision to suit the circumstances of what they're writing for.
Any secrets? Do you write in your pajamas? Do you get up early in the morning? Do you stay up late?
I'm definitely a morning person, but not pajamas. I also, when I work on something, I'm very much like a banker. I get up very early in the morning, I have my hours, and when it's over, it's over. I almost never write at night.
But how appropriate, really, because pajamas are a Persian word and you have a Persian heritage.
That's right.
Well, there you go.
Yes.
It was meant to be. So when you, are there times, how do you draw on your 30-year history with the place in bringing that into musical terms? Because it seems to me there's no way that it can't be personal.
Well, you're exactly right. And this was one of the reasons why I was so intrigued by the idea of this commission, because I realized that it was going to be, it is almost today, 30 years to the day that I first walked into Saratoga and YADO, which has become a really important cornerstone of my life, touchstone of my life for many years now. And I remember the very first piece that I heard, actually, it was actually, I came a little earlier before I came to YADO, came to visit Saratoga in July. And that day that I arrived, there was a performance at New York City Ballet, and they were doing the famous Balanchine Serenade, which is Tchaikovsky's Serenade. It's the first piece I heard in Saratoga. And so there's a little bit of that in the first movement of this as a kind of a memento. But it's, you know, it's a rich place, not only with memories, but with a kind of largesse that makes so much available to those who have the eyes and ears to take it in.
So if somebody's listening tonight, what should they be listening for? Is there a particular moment, seminal moment, that you just think this is it?
You know, that's interesting. I don't think that way. Because I'm not a musical fascist, you know. I don't tell people what they should be hearing. You know, I kind of think, you know, this is it, and you're going to draw your own conclusions. And the thing that's amazing about music is that everyone has their own experience. That's one of the reasons why I do it again and again and again, because I know with each work there'll be 100 different experiences.
So when a Freudian psychiatrist walks up to you and says, I heard that third movement, and I know that you were talking about your mother in there, what do you say?
And I'll say, well, that's probably true, but it might have been about your mother. You know?
Alan, he was a little more blunt with me earlier, because I turned to him and said, well, you know, Richard, what if I don't like this piece?
Yeah, yeah.
And he said, that's your problem.
Oh, that's your problem. But I don't. He was going to say, you can have your money back.
No, I don't think it's going to be a problem, though.
I was going to go into this whole line of questioning of once you commission it, are you completely out of the process then?
Absolutely.
Okay. So
however, in this particular case, because, you know, we just had a lot of fun talking about this along the way, I wanted to make particularly sure that Charles was involved in things as they were going along. So I touched base.
So at 12:30 at night, he might get a phone call and say, listen to this. Here's a triplet.
No, but for instance, you know, I let him know when I was about to begin. I let him know when it was finished. He was the first person I let know when it was done. You know, that kind of thing.
Is it hard to let go when it's done?
If it's a 10-minute piece, it's less difficult to let go. It's always cathartic, and there's always a little postpartum. But when it's like a 2.5-hour opera, then it's very hard to let go, because you've been living with the characters.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, novelists have this problem. They get attached to their characters. They fall in love with them, or when they die, they get really sad about it. But you know, this piece is a comedy in the sense that it's not about anything tragic. It's about something that we celebrate. And, you know, one of the things I remember hearing, it was just right, you know, one of the great mentors I had in my life was Leonard Bernstein, toward the end of his life. And he looked at me once and he said, you know, we think that what we're doing is we're getting together to do these projects. But what we're really doing is that we're doing these projects in order to come together and remember that we're all part of the same human family. And so this is one of those situations. This is one of those occasions in which we realize and recognize that we're all family again, and that this wonderful place called Saratoga joins us in that way.
I'm looking at the score. You can't see it on the radio, but I'll report that it's quite neat. Little tiny but beautifully placed notes on the page.
That's because you're looking at an engraving. If you looked at my handwriting, it would be a little less neat, still not horrendous, but if you looked at the first draft, I guarantee you wouldn't be able to make heads or tails of it. I'm the only person who could understand if my first draft's on paper.
What do you mean engraving?
This is the result of a very sophisticated form of computer engraving. In the old days, they used to drop they used to drop hot metal on plates. Mm-hmm. And you know, now what we've graduated to having it all done by computer and on laser paper. Yeah. And you know, it's great. The engraver who did this particular project is one of the greatest in the country.
Ever work in money also?
I'm sorry?
Does the engraver ever work in money also?
I wish.
Those two art forms probably don't intersect a lot, unfortunately.
Her name is Diana Yen. She's an extraordinary engraver, one of the best, and you know, and I know for a fact she's never been in jail. So
hey, there's always the first time.
Do you think about the fact that does it enter the equation at all? Is the music, or do you think about that this will be premiered by the Philadelphia Orchestra? Like, is that in the back of your mind?
All the time when you're writing a piece. In fact, I think one of the things composers do at their best is that they're conscious and aware of details about who they're writing for. I mean, I know I've this is probably the sixth or seventh maybe work that the Philadelphia Orchestra has played of mine. And over the years, I've gotten to know a number of them personally. I know how they play. I know they're extraordinary. But you get to know their personalities, especially the principal players. You know, they may have the greatest principal oboist in the country, you know, and probably one of, if not the greatest principal clarinetist in the country.
And so you put those parts in, you think, specifically for them?
I'm just aware that they will probably play this, and I know what they can do. I know that the first trumpet can hit a certain note, you know. So you just learn these things. And then you know also how every orchestra has a sound. So I've written this with the sound that they make in mind.
Could you define in a sentence what the Philadelphia sound is?
No. Because if I could, it would mean they would be a very boring orchestra if I could do it in a sentence. They're so multifaceted, so rainbow-like in what they can produce that it would take a whole different interview.
Charles, 150 years of the Saratoga Racecourse, and obviously the celebration goes on. So after the concert tonight, then there are still many, many events.
Yes, we have a wonderful day on Saturday. Of course, we have another one of the $15,000 bets that's been promoted by John Hendrickson, and that's been very popular. And I understand the young man who won the right to make the bet on Saturday, if he wins, is going to pay back his student loans.
So okay. I have no idea what's going on.
Okay, so John Hendrickson, who is the husband of Mary Lou Whitney, said, "I'll give $15,000 for a fan to bet on the Whitney handicap
on each major stakes race from the Whitney on." So that's five stakes races, and the fan
15 each.
Whoa. And it has to be a win bet, and the fan gets to whoever wins, he gets to direct the bet. And if his bet wins, he gets the money.
And I bet he's getting a lot of handicapping help.
I bet he is. But it's very interesting to see how they bet. Now, the first guy, you know, you might think he'd bet the favorite, but he didn't. He took a long shot, and he unfortunately lost.
You know what Mario Cuomo would have told him? Fifth horse in the fifth race.
That's right.
So that was the Whitney was last week. So then this is the four-star day of this weekend. Excellent. And then all kinds of you're going to be part of the Food and Wine Festival, which we're going to be talking about later on.
And we've got a really special event coming up on the 17th. Is going to be the $2 Better Ball, and it's our way of one of the things our committee decided early on that all of our events were going to be accessible, they were going to be inexpensive, and they're going to be open to the entire community. And so this is our way towards the end of the season to say thank you to $2 Better, who makes this whole thing possible. And it's going to be at the City Center. And if you get one of these pins, which I'll get both of you a copy of this pin.
This
costs $15 if you buy it downtown, or I'll give it to you for free. But then that'll get you into the Better Bowl.
Oh, that's right.
And there's four or five bands.
It's a very nice logo.
Yeah,
it's a beautiful logo.
Thank you.
You can't see it here, Joe.
Thank you very much. Oh, is it magnetized? Is that how you did that so quickly?
Yeah.
Look at you.
Yes.
Wow.
Alan, I'm not going to leave you out. I want you to
leave me out.
Well, I was driving, you know, past the track this morning, and I saw the logos all over on the iron gates and the outside. And it's very pretty and very Saratoga-ish.
Yeah, thank you. Well, actually, it's the same logo that was used in 1963 for the centennial.
The original centennial.
And how important is the familial relationship going all the way back? I mean, does that weigh on you that you have that responsibility to carry on for the family?
You know, it's an interesting thing. I went, unfortunately, to the memorial service for Dennis Dameron last night. You know, he was the vice chairman of GE. He passed away recently. I was a good friend of his, and his son spoke, David Dameron, and he talked about being in his father's shadow. But there is a challenge with it. But there's a great comfort to it, too. And the analogy I use is grass. You know, good grass will only grow if there's a certain amount of shade. Can't have too much shade. You won't have any grass. But you need a certain amount of shade. And that's what I think a familial tradition brings, if you handle it right. But it's a challenge for everybody, and everybody has to work it through their own way.
And we should know, the pins are available at the SPAC box office? Or no. Oh, you get $15 off a ticket. $5 off a ticket. $5 off a ticket. Oh, look at that. Okay, $5 off a ticket for your orchestra ticket if you have the pin when you go to the box office.
That's right.
That's really cool too.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, you can find out about the premiere of Serenade and tonight's Saratoga 150 concert by going to SPAC.org, SPAC.org, and about all the other really cool Saratoga 150 events, you can go to Saratoga150.com, Saratoga150.com. Charles Waite and Richard Daniel Poor, delight to have you both here. Thank you very much for joining us, and best of luck.
Thank you very much.
Great pleasure. Thank you very much. You're listening to the Roundtable live from SPAC on WAMC.